Have you guys seen Chimp Crazy?
No, I can't say that I have.
I have.
Have you seen it?
I have to admit, I've definitely taken a watch.
Oh, my God.
I've seen Crazy Chimps, but what are we talking
there
about?
There is a show on HBO. Do y'all have HBO?
Mm-mm.
I know you do.
Well,
you do. And you do.
Oh, I totally do.
Yeah.
You can't live without it about.
I'm going to give you my login. You need to see this ridiculous show. It's about these. It's actually
Did you just commit a felony
on air
on a podcast?
No, I think I might have broke the rules of HBO, but
yeah.
No one cares about that.
Yeah, they live in the same household. HBO.
Yeah, he lives. Roger lives with me now.
Yeah,
as of just 10 minutes ago. So, it's about these people that are obsessed with monkeys.
Okay.
Chimpanzees.
Yeah, chimpanzees. Is that the same?
It's
a chimpanzee is a
you
monkey.
You haven't been dialed in like I have.
Is it not a? It's not right. Is a monkey and a chimpanzee a different thing?
No, I think so.
They're
messing with you.
They're all in the family, bro.
Yeah.
Well, they're in the monkey family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's about a there's this one lady that you see interviewed a lot, but she. The lady who started this basically a chimp meal.
Yeah.
Like a puppy meal.
It came off, okay. It came off first as like a sanctuary type thing.
Kind of.
It's kind of a mess.
Then they started breeding these things, and she was charging $65,000 for a baby monkey, baby Ooh. Chimp.
Like for people to buy them?
Buy them. They were using them in movies back before. Now they have rules against that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seems like that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but here's the thing about a chimp. I didn't know this, but, you know, I remember the days when Michael Jackson had his two chimps.
Yeah,
Bubbles.
Yeah. I don't know why I remember the name.
Wasn't there two?
I don't know. I just remember Bubbles.
Two. Well, here's the thing about a chimp. I didn't know this, but these little suckers, after they get like 5 years old, they get vicious.
Mm-hmm.
They get mean. So you got to cage them up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep them in a cage.
If I remember news stories right, they can rip your face off.
Yes.
Yes. Well, they talk about that, and they go into detail, and it's horrific.
Yeah.
So there's this scene, and this is the whole reason I brought this up.
Oh, Lord.
There's this scene where they've got this guy who was, I think he was the husband of the lady. The lady who started this doesn't want to be on camera. She's been on camera a couple of times, but I think she said to
Probably
the camera,
a wise
like, I don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
So it's her husband. And this guy's they show him interacting with these monkeys, and I notice something's up with his nose. This mug got his nose bit off.
Oh man!
By one of these chimps, and I think it's the same chimp that bit it. They bit his nose off. The wife goes out in the yard and gets the nose, takes him to the hospital, and they sew that damn thing back on. So he's
bit
standing
his nose
there.
Off.
He's standing there like he's got his healed up nose. It looks deformed.
It's not a very good job.
It's not a very good job. It's like somebody just, you know, survival kit did that junk, you know, sewed it back on. And he's communicating with this chimp.
Right.
Okay. And this is an older chimp. This chimp's probably old enough to rip his face off again. And I think it's the same chimp that bit his nose off. Is it not?
I think you're right.
And he gets in this monkey's face. You know, these monkeys are, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know what I'm saying? He gets right in this monkey's face, and they're doing that to each other. They're going like, ooh, 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 like in each other's face, like they're talking.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's right. I mean, they're like almost kissing. And this monkey, not a few years ago, ripped his nose off.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
But so, yeah, it's about these people, and they have this weird. Wouldn't you say it's like an unhealthy obsession?
Oh, yeah. They get obsessed with some of these chimpanzees. They get obsessed with getting a new one each time because they try to mirror themselves to each other. Like, apparently you can make a baby chimpanzee, you can basically manipulate them so bad that they will match and be like one with you, like together. You know, my mom told us a story about chimpanzees that my granddad, he actually, in the 50s, he was running a Piggly Wiggly, and he did a raffle till you get a chimpanzee. It's like a pet one. And they had to. Yeah, this was.
I would buy raffle tickets.
This was way back in the, you know, in the 50s and 60s. And my mom told, you know, because I used to be like kind of fascinated with them. She's like, well, they go crazy after a certain age because they actually had to house it while they were waiting for this raffle. So for like a couple weeks, my mom had a pet chimpanzee and she was terrified. She said it was psychotic.
Come on, man. Is this
I
true
had
story?
No fact. Clue this was.
Come on down to the Piggly Wiggly, folks. Get yourself a chimpanzee.
That's a fact. I promise you.
Dude, I was just fascinated by how weird these people are.
So
that's wild.
I never know how. Well, I mean, a glimpse into our conversation and normal conversations. I never know where it's going to go when Jesse walks. And this podcast is going to be the same way.
This is true.
I have 3 points to make about that. But why did you bring the chimps up?
I just thought it was
On your mind.
Yeah,
I love it.
I got major,
a glimpse again into the mind that had the little people walk last time.
Yeah, I can tell you, I ain't never gonna go nowhere near a chimp.
So,
I never thought. You know, people think they're so cute.
Yeah,
I never thought they're cute.
So
they look like an ugly human
being.
They're
like 5 times stronger than
I've had
human
my
men too.
I've had my nose sewed back on, and I've been close enough to a baboon, not a chimp, but they can rip your face off too, and they got fangs bigger than a leopard.
Yeah,
I've been so close I smelled his breath when he barked at me.
Ooh, no and, thanks.
But Minty? Neither of those two things were related to each other.
The
nose was a car wreck, but the baboon tried to get in a hunting blind with me. My brother Alan was with me.
Yeah.
And he paid dearly for that because he eventually died that day.
Right.
But, and he's downstairs. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, that's right.
The baboon died.
Yeah.
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 Okay. After he tried to get in. He lost his fear of humans, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
But a chimpanzee, I'd like to have one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Are you serious?
I would
take a look at this.
No, I wouldn't want to babysit it all the time because I can hardly do that with a dog. But man, I would like one. Well, maybe weekend visitations.
Yeah,
something. You know, I'd like one.
Man, I'm getting major Tiger King vibes off that show.
It's made by the same guy.
Okay.
When you first started, I thought
I meant to say that earlier.
I thought you were talking about some cartoon or something. You're talking about like a
chimp
reality.
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's wild. Uh-huh. Hey, so by the way, obviously a familiar voice here with us, Steve and Shirley, but we have the great, our friend Roger Patterson with us. It'll be on multiple as we go, but I don't know how to segue from chimps to a topic before we
you just
get on
jerk
the actual,
that wheel, man.
Before
just...
we get on the actual topic of today, I want to take it to something. So Jesse, and I, you know, obviously some of the listeners know this, you guys do, church at Southside where we serve weekly, out on the streets of Birmingham. Jesse said something, that was much more profound than chimpanzee talk. but I actually, went back and looked on our video because Jesse, when you said this Sunday, first off, Sunday, Charlie Vifquin, our good friend that's still kind of leader by proxy, you know, at this point. They had to move off for job reasons, but he was back in town and taught and did a wonderful job. But you led worship. So I was there this Sunday, but I had the beauty of just taking it all in and just, you know, talking with people and sitting to the side. And I was listening, and when you prayed Sunday, you said something so profound to God when you prayed that really just spoke to my heart that I went back, watched the video, and typed it out word for word so I wouldn't mess it up. Because not only did it impact me, but I feel like other listeners like need to hear this, and let's kind of just talk about it a little, because it's so vital that we as believers go back to Eden. So much of our story makes much more sense when we do that. We realize that, yes, we have a savior, we have an enemy, there's this Eden story. Our hearts long for that, you know, whether we realize it or not. And so I would say to even a listener that may be struggling right now with life and all that, a lot of it is just simply wanting to go back, you know, to Eden, what we were created for. But I went back and I wrote it down. It says, and of course, you're praying and you say you're talking about God. Your heart towards us is good. You are no longer angry. You poured out your anger and wrath on your son. He is the bridge. He is the road back to Eden.
Wow.
And I've thought about that all week.
Wow. That's awesome.
Very beautiful. And so I would love, before we even get started on our topic today, just talk about that Eden heart. What did you mean in that? For those that weren't there, that didn't get to hear it in person, you guys discuss as well.
But yeah.
What do you mean with an Eden heart?
Well, you know, we think of, evangelical Christians think that, first of all, the phrase Eden heart, to give credit where credit's due, that was kind of ripped from our friend John Eldridge. Mm-hmm. I say our friend. He doesn't know he's our friend, but he is.
Well, we've met him.
I think he'd remember you. I think he'd remember you.
Yeah. I think I got a nod one time.
We talked through email once, me and him. But anyway.
You did meet his friend, Alan, one time.
We want to talk about that or no?
No.
I don't think so.
I think we should.
The infamous author, famous author.
Yeah. Well, maybe after we talk this
funny story. At my expense. But he talks about the Eden heart. And, you know, evangelical Christians, I think, sort of, I'll say that I don't want to be too prescriptive, like say everybody thinks this way, but I know I'd never thought the way, thought of that Eden was a point in time that will never be again. Mm-hmm. That was what I always thought. In terms of not necessarily the physical place, like the garden, but like the intimacy with God, like the way it was, you know, mm-hmm. we would always, but in fact, Jesus, made the ultimate sacrifice, not just to do us a big favor by saving us from hell, but to actually bring us back to that intimacy with God.
Yeah.
Where all, I mean, now when I say the intimacy with God, let's dig into that for a moment. Okay. Cause that's huge. And a lot of people say, well, we want relationship. We Christians, we want that relationship with God. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Right. It means all your needs are met. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. It means that there's satisfaction. It means that there's enough. It means that there is peace that passes understanding. Like people say that all the time, but who the hell has that?
Right.
But people that walk with Jesus, like I feel like we do, and I feel like people that we know do that are in our community. We've felt that. You've felt that. You've talked about that. Walking through cancer scares. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us walked through this whole COVID crap years, you know, in the past, you know, walking through those things. And it may have came in moments. It may be not all the time. Mm-hmm. But we know what that is. We know what that peace and that you don't understand when things are not okay. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's important now because the world is not okay. The world is very sick.
Yeah.
The world is very messed up. You watch the news and it's like, how the hell are we going to get through the next 10 years, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's what Eden was meant to be. That's what God is bringing us back to, is a place emotionally, a place spiritually, an inward place where we can dial in and connect with God in such a way and walk with God in such a way that we feel contentment. We feel peace in Him. It was the psalm that we're reading today, I think, says that you are my portion. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. That you're enough.
Yeah.
Like your spirit is enough. Relationship with you is enough. Mm. For a lot of us that are even listening to this, they think, well, I don't really feel that. And I would say, if you are intent on following Jesus, that's where you're headed. Mm-hmm. And I say that because that's reality. I think we've felt that. I've felt that.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus was the bridge back to that. Like, all of our confidence is in Him. Yeah. Like, All the things that we chase bring us to the emote that we think are going to give us all the things we chase are going to give us that the feeling, the emotional reality that only Jesus can give us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I said something yesterday. I'll just one more, and I'll let y'all kind of respond. I said something yesterday that I said this a while back. One of those prayers you pray, and it comes from this gut. Like, I believe this, mm-hmm. you know. And I was like, I was praying through some things. We got some hurdles we got to jump through. Me and Caroline with just finances and other stuff in the coming months. And I said this to God, like I was like, if I woke up tomorrow, and all my needs were all my physical needs and financial needs were met, and I didn't need any money, and I didn't need anything else, I would still wake up needing you. Mm-hmm. I would still wake up desiring you.
That's good.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers.
Well, and that bridge that you're talking about, too, you know, I think it's beautiful to think that the scripture in Revelation, that he is in process now, you know, of making all things new, and that Eden, in all its glory that we read about, the beauty of free will was that we had the choice, but then Satan also had the inroad, and that was the other choice, right? To choose our own way, choose, you know, God's way. But the beauty of all things new is that the enemy will be vanquished. You know, I've taught it before. It's like, I can't imagine not only the idea that I won't sin anymore, but that I won't even be tempted to.
Right.
Like that will be gone because of the beauty and, you know, the presence of God. Mm. But yeah, the bridge to Eden is Jesus.
It's the restoration of all things. And that's, you know, Paul refers to, you know, the hope that is within us. And that, you know, if someone asks, that's why we have that kind of hope and peace and that kind of thing. Because we know at some point, the end of the story is not the darkness, toxicity, and everything that we experience now. Mm. That it will be remade,
yeah,
restored.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, for me, when you're talking about that, to me, you know, I think about how I have to, like the whole being in Eden and in that time of innocence or whatever, I almost feel like it's actually, it's not something you're heading towards, because you said that it's like with Jesus, that's what you're heading towards. It's really like it's there right in front of your face.
Yeah, good point.
But you just can't. You have to be reminded. You have to be pushed towards that way. An understanding, kind of like, you know, we talk about the Matrix scene with he's like, you don't think you are, know you are.
Right.
And it's just like being a live in that space is difficult. But I mean, we're already there.
Right.
It's being able to know that you can return to that sanctuary, which is Eden.
Yeah.
Jesus did that already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's a good point to make, because a lot of my time with Jesus lately, contemplative prayer, you and I walked through that. All of us are now. But you were the one that kind of got me into it. This being still. Being still and being quiet and just listening, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has been having eyes to see what is real, mm-hmm. what's spiritually real. When you were out, I talked a lot about the system of the world, again, mm-hmm. John Eldridge statement, system of the world and the reality of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Because the system of the world is built on false things.
You might say even artificial.
Artificial, even better. Mm. That's a better way to put it. So it's like, you think about the economy and the stock market and all that junk. It's based on assumptions of how what things may do.
Yeah.
But how many times in history, I mean, look at the Great Depression, the housing market crash in, what was it, 2006 or whatever. Mm. All these things, they were all built on assumptions.
Yeah.
And those things tend to crash, and that's just one facet.
And we've all had coaches that have told us that old about assuming. So
making assumptions about what.
Yeah, take another one.
I'll say this: anything that God has created that is beautiful, good, wholesome, there is an artificial that Satan offers, and it's always a perversion. It's not just that it's artificial.
Mm-hmm.
Artificial usually means, I mean, I think perversion and artificial are synonyms, so something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
But I want to say one more thing about the going back to Eden. We've all lately listened to one of my favorite songs lately. Besides In the Beginning, shout out to Jesse Crow, which I'm not joking. That's not, I'm not kissing up. That's just one of my favorite right now. But another favorite of mine is Watchmen. And one of the things, when he has this line in there, it's better than they told me, talking about this walk with Jesus.
I have thought about that so much.
And when we look at Eden, it's not just that we get to go back to Eden. It's better than the previous Eden. Why? Intimacy restored, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Without that little snake, without Satan, without sin being in the temptation of sin like you referenced, it's better than Eden.
And let's be honest, life is better without snakes.
There is,
I'm on the record, I think, with all of you.
Nope ropes are not good. But we tend to forget that there has never existed a perfect paradise garden that didn't have evil lurking. And we get to experience that.
Yeah. And I will tell you, this is a great segue into the psalm.
But before we segue to a song,
go ahead.
I'd like to say one thing. So I was in Colorado one time with my friend Jesse. I can't leave the audience
hanging.
You can't leave that hanging. It's too good a story. I just wish you had visuals because I do a much better visual impersonation of Jesse in this situation.
This can be the clip we put on.
Yeah. So Jesse and I went to a Wild at Heart. We had done this in prison. Like,
this is a third John Eldridge plug in this podcast, by the way.
Yeah, probably be another one somewhere. But we had been through it with inmates, and we had taught with inmates
with
in the
fellow
Texas.
Inmates. Or yeah, let me clarify inmates. This. Okay.
Well, funny enough, one of the times I think Gideon told a teacher pray for his dad. He was in prison.
Yeah, I remember that.
Caroline got a call. Is everything okay? It's like, yeah, he's there for ministry, not which, you know.
And
the fact
know,
that the teacher thought that Jesse probably was possibly locked up says a lot. But anyway. But we're in Colorado. We went through Wild at Heart there with John Eldridge, and we're standing around outside with a few guys. And Jesse had already been hyping up this book that he had been reading by this guy named Alan Arnold, right?
Yep.
Alan Arnold. And so Alan works with John's ministry there.
The Story of Width is the name of the book.
The Story of Width. And we're standing there and we're talking with some guys, and this random guy walks up and, you know, engaging in conversation with us. And Jesse just begins to have this puzzled look on his face.
Well, let me just say, let me interject. I had been listening to the podcast.
Yes.
Which is read by Alan.
Yes. And Alan was on the podcast promoting the book.
Right.
And which it got me to read the book. I went and bought the book and I read it. Yeah. And so I had recognized his voice. That was the puzzled look.
Yeah.
So I'd never seen his face, recognized
it. And
voice.
It went from puzzled to recognition to what?
Yes. Jesse has the puzzled look and he says, Are you Alan Arnold? And Alan says, well, yeah. And he sticks his hand out and shakes Jesse. I'm just so, you meant so much. And like has this full on.
I love it.
Like I remember Sally Field having this moment at the Oscars or something. Like, you really do like me. Like Jesse had this come apart. And I'm like, I look at Alan and says, he's trying to tell you he really likes the book. In case you didn't know. But Alan was super sweet, but I was like, I will never forget. So anytime I hear Alan's
name. Listen, we all...
Hey, and he and I are on first name basis now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
of
that.
Yeah, that's right.
You talking about that
definitely
guy
made an impression.
You talking about that guy that from Alabama that cried when he met me?
That wept.
We all...
Not just cried.
We all joke about, but love, and it's one of our favorite things about Jesse is he has his emotions on his sleeve at times.
Yeah, I do.
It's all good.
I love it. Don't change.
And that was it was funny. It's funny now, but it was a beautiful moment even then too.
We will continue to make fun of it.
They got to talk, but
they
still will
make fun of me the rest of the trip, by the way.
Yeah.
Every time.
All right, segue.
It was good. Yeah.
Well, so we wanted to get into a psalm that I I'd been talking to you guys about that I'd read a while back. I did a talk. I did the talk a few weeks ago on it. I did not do as good a job as I wanted because I was everything was so fresh, and I didn't prepare the way I should have. And I'm not trying to redeem that or anything. I just thought it'd be a good discussion because I've had so many raw moments reading this psalm.
Yeah,
that's what I love about the Psalms is it's just an emotional raw. There's so many of them that are just so raw. They're just so. Mm-hmm. It's almost some of them you read them, you're like, why would they let that in there?
Yeah.
But it's good in a good way, you know. But I'm going to read it and then we'll just kind of all. Is that okay?
If I just read it real quick? You're going to read it from Message?
I'm going to read it from the Message. You know, if anybody listened to it, you're welcome to go find it in another version. I know some people say this. They don't like this version. I like it.
It's, deal with it.
Yeah. You just get
beautifully stated in this psalm.
All right. So starting verse 1, no doubt about it, God is good. Good to good people, good to the good-hearted. But I nearly missed it. Missed seeing his goodness. I was looking the other way, looking up to the people at the top, envying the wicked who have made it. Who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole wide world. Pretentious with arrogance. They wear the latest fashions in violence. Pampered and overfed, decked out in silk bows of silliness. They jeer, using words to kill. They bully their way with words. They're full of hot air, loud mouths disturbing the peace. People actually listen to them. Can you believe it? Like thirsty puppies, they lap up their words. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have made it, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck, that's what. A slap in the face every time I walk out the door. If I had given in and talked like this, I would have betrayed your dear children. Still, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture, the slippery road you put them on, with a final crash in a ditch of delusions. In the blink of an eye, disaster. A blind curve in the dark and nightmare. We wake up and rub our eyes, nothing. There's nothing to them, and there never was. When I was beleaguered and bitter, totally consumed by envy, I was totally ignorant, a dumb ox, in your very presence. I'm still in your presence, but you've taken my hand. You wisely and tenderly lead me, and then you bless me. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who left you are falling apart. Deserters, they'll never be heard from again. But I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do.
It's good stuff.
It's beautiful.
I feel like the writer of that is scrolling Facebook. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this is one point that I made the other day. It was like, I may just be saying how petty I am. You know, I may be, I'm sure there's other people like this. Maybe you guys are not. But one of the reasons I have recently kind of started on back in social media. I took a long break just getting on there to post just pertinent stuff with my music and with the podcast and that sort of thing. But lately I've been kind of getting on there more in my free time, which is never good for me because I get mad over stuff. I like political stuff. You know, we've talked about that, but it's almost like the writer's flipping through Facebook. I'm like, look at this guy here. He thinks he knows everything. You know what I mean? Cause like I think social media is a good medium It's a good medium. It's a good way to deliver messages. It's a good way to deliver information, to communicate with an audience if you're a personality or you're an artist or whatever, or if you're a pastor, you know, your church and that sort of thing. But one thing I've noticed about it is obviously it's very toxic. But for me, it sends me into a very envious tailspin sometimes.
If I was going to create a modern day Screwtape Letters, y'all ever read that?
Oh yeah,
I would have Screwtape telling the younger to design Facebook in order to propagate envy and that kind of thing. I'm with you. I know
what you know
means.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Am I the only one?
No.
It's like you see people.
That
like...
is the result of seeing, you know, people's narrated version. They take. You know, we all do it.
Oh, yeah.
The pictures. Yeah. Oh, this is what I'd like to share with the world, but I want to share this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a narrated, carefully curated version of your story. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love, you know, this psalm, I love how, you know, he says in the first couple of verses, he says, you know, he admits this admission, like, God is really good. He says, I nearly missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, when I remember it was one day in particular, I don't remember what I was, whose page I was on, or I was just scrolling through, and I was in a terrible mood because there's a lot, here's my thing right now in my life. There's a lot of things that are unfinished and it drives me batty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm building a house. And I've been stalled out for a while because we, I don't know if you noticed, but prices on everything, it went through the roof. And so it kind of, our finances petered out about halfway through this build. And so we've got part of our place built, a nice living quarter place. It's completely enough. It's fine. We've even kind of said we could probably turn what we have into a decent house, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's so much of my life that's unfinished. There's so much of my of things, you know, that are not the way I want them to be. And one of my a negative thing about me is whenever that those things kind of pile up, I look for something to latch onto. Mm-hmm. It can be, it's usually nothing terribly evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like drink till I fall on the ground or. You know, normally it's, I'll watch, sometimes I've done that, but I'll watch too much TV. I'll find that I'm watching too much TV, or I'll find that I'll watch reruns over and over again.
Gorge yourself.
I'll gorge myself.
That's what I do.
I'll eat too much, and I may drink too much. I mean, that's a, you know, I may have, normally I'll have one beer with dinner. Sometimes I'll have two or three, I get... Or social media. I'll sit there and I know when I'm not okay.
Anything to distract.
Yeah. When I'm sitting there and I'm just, just scrolling. And man, every time the enemy, when I'm in that place, it's like a perfect bullseye for the enemy every time.
Yeah.
You know, and I am this guy, you know, it's like, he says, looking up at people at the top, envying the wicked who have it made, who have nothing to worry about, you know, not a care in the whole wide world, pretentious with arrogance, all those things, you know.
He's being so transparent and open. I mean, this is a song, a 3,000-year-old song. Did they sing this in their sanctuary? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just poetry, but Asaph's writing this and saying things out loud that we don't typically do when we're together in, you know, how envious, and I looked at them, you know, and he's basically saying my life sucks. Look at this, and he's complaining about it, but his life didn't. He had a high position in David's kingdom, but he's writing this psalm, and so much of the psalms, as you alluded to earlier, are raw. It's raw emotion, and it says it like it is, and we usually like to, again, curate that. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you really? No, this guy's gonna. You know, you know, it's that. It's an unedited, unfiltered version of what he's feeling.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The Message version was sucks. I think King James says sucketh.
sucking.
But yeah. that one that got me, I'm missing his goodness, and I'm looking the other way. I think I said it last time that, you know, with the cancer stuff, it's like I said it last episode when we talked about that as the whole topic, the fear and the worry and anxiety and all that stuff. I'm still not at a place to say thank you, God, that I went through that. Mm-hmm. But I am at a place where I've noticed a switch in some of my life. Like I've told people, almost like a new lease on life, to where, for instance, like this verse hits so hard about how good God is, but I was looking the other way and like I missed it, of the simplistic things since cancer. Like I've had a birthday not long ago, and I was actually at the beach. You'd filled in, you know, one of the times you were teaching. And I remember like this beach trip, one, I said, you know, normally like I turned 46, mm-hmm. was getting close to, you know, the 50. And it's like, you know, there used to be a little anxiousness about, man, like I'm getting older. Like go through something like what I just went through and you'll be glad to add another year. Like there was no worry about adding another year. It's thankfulness. But this beach trip that we went on, it was funny. I talked with the family. It's like we did far less stuff. Like we hung out together just as much. You know, part of that, you know, the story, our daughter is pregnant. So we've got her out on the beach. We had her like trying our best to treat her like a queen with a tent, and even had the DeWalt battery fan out there, you know, asking, does she need grapes? You know, whatever. We're just, you know, taking care of her like we should. So, you know, we weren't, you know, even staying out as long sometimes or doing as much. But I remember just sitting in my chair, just watching the waves and just thinking, man, God, you are good. You know, you're good. And just, you know, maybe at other times pre-cancer would have been in a spot of just missing that moment and just been like, well, what are we going to eat for dinner tonight? Or what are we going to do? Or whatever. And I was just happy in the moment being with my people of just like, man, this is good.
Yeah. Your perspective had changed.
Yeah, and absolutely.
You know, it's obvious reading this that he is, in the initial part of this psalm, his focus is totally not on God, his goodness, and those blessings that you're describing. It was on the envy, that what he has that I don't have. And you know, I was struck reading this again when you asked us to read it, was, you know, again, there's this, there's two things. There's aspiration, which is not bad. That's a good quality, to aspire to something. But you can aspire, you know, if I, Stephen, you know, I'd wish I could play sports or soccer like Stephen. That's aspiring, but it's not envious. Like, I wish he would break his legs so that I could be better than his. That's a whole difference. But his focus is envy. It's, man, you know, here my life is horrible, and look at them. You know, they're getting a pass, and they're not as good as me. That's what's the toxicity of this. He's not hiding that. He's being very open, and we all do that to some degree. But, you know, what you've described, Keith, sitting on that beach looking at things that you may not have paid attention to last year.
Yeah.
You know, I was struck by, you remember Casey? Minor,
yeah.
Our Anglican friend that we met in prison.
Yeah.
He said something one time that just was very profound to me, that about, and I've used it several times and referenced him, but how when you focus on something, directing your attention to that, to the exclusion of everything else, it's magnified. And that's true of whether it's our problems or whatever. And he said, he made the point that it's like, he didn't say this, but I took it looking through binoculars. You're magnifying whatever you're looking at to the exclusion of other thing else. And he made this bridge. Magnification is another word for praise. And so what are you praising, i.e. focused on worshiping in your life?
Yeah.
And that's what I see in this. He's being pretty raw. And I'm not usually that. Yeah. Open, transparent, honest about, you know, that struggle.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, but you kind of took a turn there on Stephen when you talk about breaking his leg, man.
No, I know, like, right?
What was the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding?
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Break a leg.
Why,
break
man? Why?
Why me?
Envy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to this on the way over here, just kind of on in my, as I was going through traffic and getting irritated. And I hear this as, when we're talking about singing, how do they do this? They sing as a song, or how did this get played out? To me, it's like he's given a little mini story of his life experience. Like, yeah. I didn't realize that he was in the court with David or connected mm-hmm. in that way. And to me, it's kind of like he's probably saw some stuff going on mm-hmm. that, you know, he's caught up in that system mm-hmm. of, hey, I'm in the king's court or whatever. I'm in the in crowd. Is the way I'm hearing it a lot is I'm in this in crowd. I've been doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what this dude's story is, but it sounds like he got humbled big time. Yeah. It's like the way I like to picture it.
Kind of the older brother in yeah. the prodigal type.
But
thing.
It's like he returns, he starts this whole process of returning, I'd say, to Eden, mm-hmm. of getting back to, hey, you know, all this stuff that I thought was so important and was such a big deal. At least this way I'm hearing it is all that crap's nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, like I was thinking about, you know, on the way over here, I was got all these things I got to do, you know, in work that I think that's part of that work system that I'm not got to deliver on and get done and yada, yada. And I'm like, man, that's just like, that's such a, yeah, those things are important. I'm not saying that. I don't want someone to hear me and think Steve ain't gonna don't care about his job. But what I'm saying is you get to a point where you realize, man, all that drama or those what if scenarios that I go through, that crap doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
What matters is I'm here with some being in connected with some people I know and slowing down all those simple things.
Yeah.
Man, I have I had a beach thing too this year. This summer ending, like I was thinking about this the other day, I've been really sad that summer's ended this year. Mm-hmm. I've never been that mm-hmm. way before. And I think it was because this summer was pretty good. Like it was, in spite of everything that I have that's chaotic, that's not finished, like you were saying, stuff that I need to be doing. But one trip, and I know this trip was so good to the beach. We actually got to go twice this year, which I typically don't get to do that, but they were short trips. And we have some family that have a little place that's not on the beach, but it's close enough where you can, you know, drive down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we got a couple of extended weekends where we could go down there and hang out, which it was really nice. But that first trip, I was thinking, God, I do not need to go, man. Like, I got so much crap to do. And that's what I love about the contemplative prayer stuff is it's so delightfully disruptive mm-hmm. because it teaches you to allow stillness to disrupt your world, you know? And so I think with that practice, it's allowed me to anticipate these trips more, or a getaway or a Saturday away with my family, even though I know I got stuff to do, and not letting those little things dominate, you know? Mm-hmm. So I shut everything down, and we're just like, you know, we're still trying to get this garage finished and everything. I was like, we're going to go. Kids want to go, you know, about midway through the summer. So we go to the beach, and I was down there, and I started getting frustrated thinking about all the stuff I needed to get done. I was like, God, and I started praying through it. I was like, God, this is nagging at me, you know, and I'm really wanting to, and it was the first morning there, and I was starting nagging at me, and I started praying for all these things to happen. Like, if you can just make this happen, if you can make that happen, if you can bring this together, God, And I was sitting there, and I grabbed my guitar. I always take my guitar to the beach. I've written tons of songs at the beach because it's like it's a place I can shut down and I can let that in, you know. And I started playing something, and I started writing something. And God is always there when I write. I can feel his presence every time. And I kind of finished what I was doing, put my guitar up. The kids were ready to go to the beach, and God, I mean, I felt it in my gut. God said, am I not enough? Hmm. And I was like, I didn't even know how to answer that. Like, I'm like, yeah. And then, so we go down the beach, and Gideon took the football. He's like, I want to throw the football on the beach. I was like, yeah, all right. So we go out there, and, well, Tegan and my two kids, Gideon, Tegan. Gideon's about to be 14, Tegan's 10, and she wanted to play like a touch football game, the three of us, and the two of them against me, you know. And I was standing out there at one point, and the breeze started picking up, mm-hmm. and it cooled down for a minute. I know this may sound crazy to people listening to this, but that was the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I could feel it. And the kids were running, and I'm trying to throw the ball, get the ball to Tegan or something. I don't remember what we were doing. And I'm throwing the ball, and as soon as I let the ball go, I felt God again say, "Am I not enough?" And I knew, man, I knew in that moment. It's so weird, but I knew. It's like God is with us. Like yeah. He went ahead and prepared this trip, this place, this moment for us to enjoy. And I tell you, I didn't think about anything else.
Yeah,
I just enjoyed the moment, and I actually got home and got some stuff done. And anyway, that just
you said didn't cry,
huh?
Yeah, start crying.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Oh, if you did, I would have too. I mean, I was tearing up when you're telling. That's good. Yeah. Good stuff.
You know, I'm reminded. I think Jesse, you taught on this recently, or maybe it was one of Keith's sermons at Southside. But recently, one of y'all were talking about this study that included psychology and neurological studies that showed incompatibility with these negative emotions, envy, hate, anger, outrage, the incompatibility of that with compassion, mm-hmm. empathy, love, altruism, basically. And that's what I see in the psalm is just when this is where you're focused,
right.
scrolling, dealing with whatever,
yeah,
you don't have the capacity to stop and experience God's presence, His intimacy, and what He's offering.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is being offered with that bridge of Jesus that we're describing. You don't have to. What was one of our favorite Eugene Peterson, the message mm-hmm. is the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, not the striving, yeah. Yeah. but walk with me. Watch how I do it. You know, that, yeah. that invitation is what I see in here. And, you know, when we're staying in that outrage, that anger, that envy, all of those things, you know, mm-hmm. we don't get to experience what He's offering.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy is about.
Well, and here's what's interesting. You know, there's this Mike, our buddy Mike Skelton used to call it the sin of comparison. Mm-hmm. So we have this, that's what fuels a lot of social media activity is this sin of comparison. And I don't, you know, that's one thing that makes some of these, you remember the reality shows that started happening in the, I guess, in the late 2000s, like you had these famous families that they just follow around with cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I'm not into it. I've never watched any of them. I've watched clips of them. But you see, like, people starting, like, a lot of, I don't say pick on females, but a lot of females starting to dress like the Kardashians and doing like these people do and stuff. Mm. And it's almost like this obsession with trying to be like these people. And I love what he says here. He's talking about these kinds of people. And he says, pretentious with arrogance. And I'm not suggesting that they're all evil. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I do think there is an element of evil that exists in the entertainment industry that, you know, that comes sure. out of these things. It says, pretentious with arrogance. They wear the latest fashions in violence, pampered and overfed, decked out in silk bows of silliness. They jeer using words to kill, and they bully their way with words. They're full of hot air, loud mouths, disturbing the peace. And this is what I love. People actually listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, can you believe it?
Yeah.
Like silly puppies, they lap up their words. And I was like, when I read that, I was thinking, God, I mean, like, it's almost like he sees into our world, this writer, you know, and
he's describing the systems of the world.
Yeah. I want to tell you, can I tell you what I thought of when I read that part in the message was American politics. Right. And I'm not wanting to get into politics
or corporate mentality or anything built on those things.
I want to say that is whichever side of the aisle you vote on, the hot air that comes out of the mouth. And it's like where he says, and people actually believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like you watch the news without that, you know, red or blue filter. And you watch it and you're like, like you said earlier, we're doomed. Like, how are we going to, as America, how could we make it past another? But one of the things that came to mind, you mentioned him already, not by name, but his song Watchmen, Josh Garrels. I was kind of smiling when you said it, because I this line of a song, one of my favorite songs, he had redone an old hymn called Farther Along, and does a great job with it. But to me, I don't know if y'all picked this up in this, but I get through this whole psalm of, like, the psalmist just saying, life's just not fair. You know, life's just not fair. Like, I don't know how many times I've said that and complained to God about that. But the line in Farther Along, and I'll tell you the first part, and then we can talk about it just a little, and then the last part is even more beautiful. But Josh Garrels says in his version of Farther Along, he adds a little bit in some of the verses, the good man dies and the bad man thrives. You know, and it's just like, how many times we say, man, he was such a good person. It's like everything didn't work out for him. And then you see somebody that steps over people and that's manipulative, and that's all. And it's like they got everything the world has to offer.
Yeah.
And you're like, where is the fairness in that? But then he continues and he says, this is, I mean, it gives me chills. So read that again. The good man dies, the bad man thrives, and Jesus cries because he loves them both. We're all castaways in need of ropes.
Yeah.
And it just reminds you, it takes you back to that fairness and saying life's not fair. And the, well, you know, I'm walking with God, so I'm, you know, I'm air quotes here, good, and they're bad.
Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder to remind ourselves when we're thinking about the fairness of life or the systems and all that. The only separation between wicked and good is that bridge, right? It is Jesus.
Yeah.
That is the only thing that is good. But that just, it goes through the whole psalm for me. This is just not fair.
Right.
Like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
But then he gets to the ending, and it's like he has that, okay, I've got a better lens on this now.
Well, there's a – were you about to say something?
I was going to ask you a question, but go ahead and make your point.
Well, I was going to kind of – what to his point, when he gets to the end, there's this massive shift.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what is the shift?
Well, right. What is the shift? I think it's revelation to – I mean, maybe that's simplistic, but that's always what brings us back, is some sort of insight or revelation. But where does that come from? And I guess when I read this song, it's a song about someone walking away from their faith, you know, deconstructing their faith, or deconversion, you know, is a popular word now, you know, and I have a friend that's going through that. And so what would you say to that person listening who is, you know, that's what they're about to do, is deconstruct or walk away. Mm-hmm. What is, you know, what would you say to that person, or what is that change that you experience here with Asaph?
Well, here's what I love. He says, but then I entered your sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Now, what is sanctuary? I talked a little bit about this at the talk on last Sunday. The sanctuary is silence. It's that 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I am supreme over everything. I get the last word over your life, over their life, over the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's not empty silence, though. It's silence
it's
in
not.
The presence.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Silence in the presence. Yeah. It's about, I just love that. But then I entered your sanctuary. Then I entered into the presence of God. Then I realigned everything. Everything comes back to Jesus. It comes back to God. It comes back to the one who gets the last word over everything. And I think that's, you know, it's hard to say, like when you say someone who's in that place of deconstruction, someone who's kind of like sort of...
And there's a lot of things that need deconstruction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the basic faith.
It's hard to know what to tell a person like that. But I would say, as a Christ follower, I would start with shutting the world out, coming back to silence, coming back to a place where, because I mean, even when you're quiet, there are things in your, I mean, your brain is noisy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, I think of Brennan Manning when he told that that nun lady that came to him, and she talked about this terrible tragedy she went through, this trauma she experienced as a young girl. And he asked her, just this almost hatred towards God. She just could not. She had suffered at the hands of an older man, and she was like, "How do I let go of this?" And Brennan directs her to go get alone and to sit up straight, put her hands out, and say, "Abba, I belong to you." Mm-hmm. This centering prayer, this centering place. That's almost too simple. It's almost too simple to even say, but I believe that's part of the road back. When we get to this place, like this person is, this writer, entering into that sanctuary is entering into that silence where you center around God. You center your spirit around the Spirit of God. You realign that with God. And there's a lot of ways to do that. I mean, some people do it.
That, you know, it speaks to, you know, God's presence is in that intimacy, like any relationship, is something that must be nurtured and stewarded. So if there's a toxic or a very caustic attack on that, you know, where's that coming from? And you're right, shutting that out. Mm-hmm. And then because the antidote is coming into his presence. But, you know, for someone that's not used to that or has never experienced that, they're not going to necessarily get that. I don't want to, you know, just give Jesus speak. But
right.
There is something that when you shut that out and come into that sanctuary, that silence, that still place, that things start to get realigned.
Well, I remember when, this is not a podcast about centering prayer, but I remember when you and I first
sounds
talked
like
about
is,
that.
But I like it.
And you gave me that book about Father Richard Rohr, Everything Belongs. Mm-hmm. And I first started doing that, like centering with God, like being silent and choosing a centering prayer like that. It was difficult the first few months I did it. And then it became...
It's humbling.
Yeah. Maybe you can talk more about that. But I was like, that was... The more I did it, the more I shut the world out, the more I aligned myself with God. Those are words a lot of people may hear that and go, I don't know what that means. You know, mm-hmm. Maybe you can.
Well, I was just going to say, kind of building on what Roger was talking about, what was the shift? You know, I mean, the more I read this, the more I'm convinced this dude got humbled big time. And I picture, you know, because he's saying a slap in the face every time I walk out the door.
I like that perspective. I've never thought about it.
Thing, to me, I picture him just... I like to think of him as just sitting there going, this stuff happened again to me. Mm. And I feel like he's returned to that system continually. That system of, you know, fashions of violence. That word jumps out of me big
it
time.
It does me too. Yeah.
And I feel like for me, when you're saying about reality shows and Facebook and all that and all these things, you know, it's just a comparison thing. Once you compare things, envy starts getting in there, and then that's violence. I mean, it's wanting to take something, wanting something that's not yours. It goes down those roads to me. Mm-hmm. And so I just think, to me, he's had this experience. I don't know what it is, but this time he's decided to go towards some other way. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think we've all eaten touchstone. I mean, you got humbled pretty big with the whole cancer thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all encountered tragedy in our life. There's no way you can escape it. You know, you're going to. So when it happens, this for me is like, so which one are you going to go back to?
What are you going to choose?
You're going to go back to the system, which we all know systems. Richard Rohr, man, he talks about stuff too. I ain't going to get into it, but it's systems can be good, but they can also...
Predatory
and push evil perpetuates through them. It works through it really well. It does. Hierarchy, all that kind of stuff. You know, that can be sound like a bunch of woo-woo stuff, but it's true.
Well, and the one thing too for me is when I woo-woo, when I started
when I started getting alone with God and not being so agenda driven, like I need to read this and I need to do, you know, and I was just like made time for silence. I started realizing all the things that I do to medicate, to chase life, and like
the system, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the entertainment industry is so huge. That's why, you know, there's so many apps where you can watch different TVs, like Pluto TV. I love Pluto TV because I don't have to pay for it. Hmm. I just have to watch commercials. Yeah. And they're the stupidest commercials ever, by the way. But, you know, I'll get on there. Right now, this is dumb, but we've been watching Cops and the kids in Caroline. But it's like that can turn into that thing of just sitting there, just, mm-hmm. I mean, pounding some chips, yeah. Vegging out, watching Cops. Yeah, pull him over.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. He's,
bad boys.
Yeah.
Bad boys.
One of those, you know, talking about the system of the world, you know, it's a system that depletes.
Ooh,
it cannot refresh. And what we hear at the end of this psalm, when you read that, regardless of what version you read it in, you can't miss that. There's all of a sudden there's a refreshment. Read that last part again.
What part?
The last few verses where it's like
talking about the shift.
Yeah, not just the shift, but there's the last two verses, I think it is. But yeah, I'm going to stay God, here I'm and I'm going to be telling people.
Yeah. He says so. He has that shift, and he comes back to that where he started. God is good.
Yeah.
God is still good. God is better. Hey, what he's saying is God's better than all that other stuff. Mm. Like, he's better than all that stuff. And he says, but in the very presence of God, oh, how refreshing it is. I have made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. So it's like he comes back to this, to where he started, to this place of, no, God is better. Like, he's better. Yeah. Like, we chase these other things and we say, well, maybe that's what I want. Maybe that's what I need. Maybe if I just had enough money to buy that. Maybe if I could just look like that person. Maybe if everything would just go my way, everything would be fine. If I could just get the things, and it's extracting from everything and everyone, pulling stuff in. And he finally comes back and goes, wait a minute. No. God's better.
There's never enough.
Yeah.
If you're on that old way. Like,
there's never. And I love that, you know, he says in another version, he said, he's actually my portion.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Go ahead. Sorry.
There's a word you said earlier that I haven't been able to get out of my mind, and you said the word Christ follower. And I think it's important for those that are listening why we would say that versus your typical Christian, you know, term, and there's nothing wrong with that term, but I think it's been so hijacked and so used by people that maybe do not have a relationship with Christ, but just want to identify, like, for their obituary purposes,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
We use the term Christ follower, not that we don't use the other. I'm just saying in that term where you used it, of really doing our best to walk with Christ, like to let him be the head of our life, mm-hmm. just like we believe he's the head of our, you know, of the church. There is a, and if you're out there wondering, you say, well, am I truly a Christ follower, or have I just labeled myself this, you know, Christian, and maybe some of this stuff is not resonating about getting alone, and like, when's the last time I've done that, or like feeling guilt and shame? We don't want any of that, but I do think there's a good litmus test to know if, like what Jesse said earlier, if, you know, really that Christ is supreme and enough. And it's a book that changed my life, really the course of my life, and one of the books I read before I felt called to move to Birmingham. And it was Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love. And I think it's kind of ironic because we love Corey Asbury, and he wrote a song a few years back, Reckless Love, that just everybody got up in arms about. God's love is not reckless, and I get it. But, like, I always wanted to say, I bet you've read Crazy Love, though, so it's okay for God to be crazy but not reckless. I digress. But he makes a statement in there that is so simple but yet so profound. And Francis Chan asked the question, if you were like, I mean, a genie in a bottle scenario, like if you were given the option right now, you can have heaven, all its glory, all your loved ones, no sickness, no health problems at all, no death, no crying, any of the stuff, but Jesus is absent. Like, would you be okay with that? You know, where earlier, Jesse, you said, like, you know, he's posing the question to you, am I not enough? And I'm afraid what's happened in the church today is we have so many in the church that are caught up in religion versus relationship that if given the choice, I mean, you mean I'm never going to be sick again? And heck, even listening to that question myself, it's like, that sounds like a pretty good deal. But if Christ is truly like supreme in our life, he's our Lord and Savior, and he is our everything, and he is our portion, and he is the one that gives us that moment like the psalmist has where everything turns, but, you know, like that but moment of like, I just wonder how many that would call themselves Christ followers or listening to this would say, yes, I'm a Christian, would sign up for that deal and be okay to never experience the glory of having a relationship or walking with Jesus, literally like one day walking with him. And so I don't necessarily know why I felt led to share that other than just learn to just go with those things. And if it's one person out there that needs to hear, or maybe it was me that needed to remember that story. But what would you say to that question? You know, would you be okay with heaven and all its glory without Christ? Maybe that answers a little bit. And that's not to bring shame or guilt or anything. That's not what this podcast is about. If it brings anything, I hope it brings you to a place of like what we've talked about. Get alone, get quiet, you know, ask him. I know all of us at this table believe that God still speaks. He speaks beyond his Bible. He speaks beyond a pastor. If you believe and you know him, you have the Holy Spirit. You know, just listen. You know,
that's the invitation. That is the good news in the gospel, that invitation that you just described of presence of is always on the table.
Well, and two, and I know we're kind of winding down, but I think it's, and this has been said a lot lately, especially, but in certain circles, but our world is just we're enamored with distraction. I mean, we're just enamored with it. It's like we have a phone in our pocket that has everything we can want on there. Anything we want to watch, if it's not on there, we can go find it and pay for it and get it. And we have TV, and we have a lot of us sit in front of a computer all day, and we have all of this distraction. And that's why I say, that's why, you know, silence and that kind of solitude with God is so crucial. I mean, it is a spiritual discipline. It was what Jesus did.
And I would
add,
that's the phones and stuff. That's what we have now. What about 10 years from now? Right. I mean, with the technologies they're talking. And so it's going to become a lost art, if it's not already,
right,
of being still and being quiet and listening.
Yeah.
And it's of utmost importance.
It's the only thing, what we're describing is the only thing that nourishes the human soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this has been really good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like, we really dove off into something deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not that we're not going to come back to the monkey discussion.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So go and watch Chimp Crazy if you can.
Yeah, or don't. Or don't be distracted.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of intrigued now.
You got to watch it. If you like Tiger King, you're going to like Chimp Crazy.
Jump into the system.
Yeah, jump back into the system.
Wow, we give an invitation and we invite right back.
He just said, get rid of the distraction. But before you do, there's two episodes out right now. Go watch Chimp Crazy.
At least catch up.
Then check out again.
That's it. Well, how about that? Episode
3. Episode 3!
That's right.
Yeah!
Episode 3.
Thanks for
listening. Thank y'all so much for listening. And
see y'all next time. Thank you, guys.